suffering Bishop Verdell Jones is going to introduce the speaker of the hour. Read him by saying amen.
Amen. Amen. Put your hands together and praise our God one more time. Hallelujah. Amen. I decided to play that because, you know, sometimes we think that God doesn't give gifts. He was a young man, only 9 years old, never played a piano in his life. His father anointed his hand and said, go play. And he started playing. You know, Andre Crouch, man, wrote a lot of songs, and you can play a piano like you would. It was an anointed. You saw that playing. It was just normal piano playing. That brother was anointed because God did it. So I wanted my young people to be encouraged because sometimes they think they can't do. But you can lay hands on your child and believe God can give them the gift. And if God gives them the gift, no one can take it away. God bless you. We love you. What a wonderful day. We're getting ready now to receive the critical part of any service. And that is the word of God. Amen. We expect to come to the church. Amen. To receive a word from God. Amen. The Bible says, without faith, it shall be what? Impossible to please God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can you hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? I tell you, I am looking to hear from the Lord. God is such an intelligent God. He would not allow you to come to his house and not speak to you. Now, somebody might come to your house, you might not speak to him because you peep at the window and see who it is. You want to go to the door. Hallelujah. But I'm so glad that God speaks to his people through the preacher. And I certainly thank God for our speaker. Amen. He's a great man of God and a great pastor. Came up years ago, he and I, in Christ Temple, the Mother Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And I tell you, Pastor Hill has... I don't know if he lost count of how many people he's baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I used to be in the church and people would come through the altar to be baptized and Pastor Hill would be up there putting them down in the name of, he lost count, I think. Amen. So he's been a tremendous help everywhere he's been. And certainly God is blessing him there in Lexington, Kentucky. Amen. Doing a great job. And I have a great deal of respect for him. Before either one of us went out to pastor church, mine here in Paris and he in Lexington, we made a sort of pact with each other. You know, we're going to support each other wherever we go all those years, and we have kept that promise. Amen. I'll go wherever he's going to be and support him. He comes and support me. That's the pact and agreement that we made. And it's good to have a friend in the ministry, amen, that you can call on and that knows it's got your back. So we appreciate, amen, this man of God going to bring forth our word on tonight. Stand on your feet now to receive Pastor Michael G. Hill of Christ Temple Christian Life Center in Lexington, Kentucky. Pastor Hill, God bless you, sir.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. That's funny that Bishop mentioned that because I was just, I think, was it today? We was talking about how many people had baptized in Jesus' name. Was it today, wasn't it? We're just talking about, I couldn't count how many people I had baptized in Jesus' name. And strange, because my mind went back to so many people I had baptized, and I had baptized Sister Hill. And for God, yeah, I baptized her. And then I came one day, and I was talking to her about going to Ringling Brothers, Bonham and Bailey Circus. I was taken out there. That was, I guess, a date. That's what it was. And I didn't really know her. She said, you baptized me. I said, what? She said, you baptized me in Jesus' name. So I wound up marrying somebody I baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. And we've been married now 28 years. Looking at 29. Amen. God is good. I want to give honor unto God, unto the great pastor, host pastor of this church, Bishop Verdell Jones, unto the assistant pastor and the assistant pastor out there, and the elder here, the minister, elder, and all of the pastors, Pastor Clay. Pastor Clay, I don't know why I bumble up with that because he's all on Facebook. Every time I go on Facebook. He's somewhere preaching and laying hands on somebody. He's doing the work of the Lord. Amen. Isn't that all right? And Pastor Lennon and Assistant Pastor out there, Chisley, and First Lady, and I guess she's Assistant Pastor too, Mount Sister Leatherwood. Amen. And also Rotowski. Evangelist Rotowski. Amen. I just don't want to overlook anybody. There may be someone else out there, any other ministers, evangelists, and preachers out there, and giving honor unto First Lady Hill. Amen. We hope not to be before you long. Time is getting, now it's fleeting, it's getting late. We're going to be in Genesis. Let me get these second eyes on. We're going to be Genesis, the 39th chapter. And I thought about reading something, a little something out of Psalms 37, but I may not. So we're going to be in Genesis, the 39th chapter. Very familiar scripture. I'm going to start at verse 1. I got my little subject here. All right. And I'm going to ask that when you get that, yes, that you would stand at your feet. And I know pretty much that everybody has it. Church say hallelujah. I have certainly enjoyed myself here tonight. I had the songs and the praises that went up. I was feasting.
Amen.
All right, pretty much everybody got it. Genesis 39. I'm going to read 15 verses, but I'm going to run through these very quickly, so it shouldn't take a whole lot of time. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him at the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had was he put into his hands. And it came to pass when the time that he had made him overseer over his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had. He knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife caught her eyes, cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused, said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Now then, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garments and saying, lie with me. And he left his garments in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when he saw, when she saw that he had left his garments in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he has brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. And he came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garments with me and fled and got him out. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Maybe you kind of can feel where I'm going. Precious Lord God, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your mercies. We thank you for all the testimonies and the songs that went up, oh God. We ask now that you help thy servant, oh God. Bless me, anoint me, oh God. Give me clarity of speech and clarity of thought. Oh God, let this word have a free course, oh God. And let me be a blessing unto thy people, oh God, to speak the words that you put in my mouth. Speak through me and put words in my mouth, oh God, that, oh God, those that are here on the sound of my voice, oh God, may be blessed, may be strengthened. Oh God, may be encouraged, oh God. May receive, oh God, that which is needed in this hour, oh God. Oh God, to cause them to journey on. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We would take a subject. I'm bypassing. I'm going to tell you the subtopic, but I'm just going to go with my subject. Trust in the Lord and do good. But my subject is God is with you. And I know God wants to encourage somebody tonight. God is with you. Somebody, everybody say that with me. God is with you. God is with you. Now, Joseph was a dreamer. And it's nothing wrong with being a dreamer. It's good, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you have to know who you can talk to and who not to talk to. And because Joseph's brothers hated him. They hated him, and he did not know how strong that hatred was. And it was so strong that they wanted to kill him. But God was with him. God was with him. And that means a whole lot. Keep that in mind. That's my subject. God was with him. And his father had made him a coat of many colors, for he was a dear child, and he was a good son, you know, and whatever his father said unto him, he would say to his father, here am I. You know, what do you have me to do? Dad, I got this. Paraphrasing. So, you know, time went on. You know, they had that envy. They had the jealousy in his heart. And Joseph's brothers, as far as what they felt towards him, they were mean. They were evil. And they were full of hatred and envied him. And they said, let's kill him. They said, let's kill him. And, you know, when they saw Joseph coming, his father sent him out to check on his brothers and all, and he couldn't find them. And some guy was out there in the field there, and he told him, he said, they saw Joseph wandering around. I said, what you looking for? What's going on? He said, well, I'm trying to find my brothers. He said, I heard they in Dothan or somewhere like that. So he went there, and they saw him afar. They said, here come this dreamer. He said, let's kill him. Let's get rid of him. That's pretty strong. Anytime your own siblings, your own brothers, want to take you out, you know, and the hatred was so strong. They meant business. They weren't playing. They really meant business. So, you know, they concoct this thing and set this thing up, how he was going to kill him. But, you know, big brother always kind of come around and help out when you young. Joseph was next to the youngest. So his big brother, Reuben, he wasn't no good, you know, even father said about him. You know, I'm just saying what Jacob said about him. Reuben, you my firstborn, but you're unstable as water. That's what his dad said about him. He went up to my couch. But, you know, he came through for little brother, you know, and he said, look, let's not kill him. Let's just put him in some kind of pit. Because his desire was, once they settle down, I'm going to get him out and deliver him back to his dad. But, you know, that didn't do it. That didn't calm that anger. That didn't calm that bitterness and that hatred that they had in their heart against Joseph. And so time went on. You know, they were still there musing in their heart how they were going to take him out. But then Judah came and said, look, because he knew they weren't settled. They were still wanting to get him. He said, look, I tell you, I got a plan. Let's just sell him. Make some money off of him, you know. And all like, and something about flesh, that kind of appeased them and calmed them down. He said, well, sell him, and we don't need to kill him. Let's just use him and get some money off of him. So then that appeased them. They calmed down. And the Ishmaelites came along. And I'll preach in a minute. Let me just lay this background, let you look at the scenery, see what's going on here. And the Ishmaelites came along, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites gave them 20 pieces of silver. Now, you know what comes to your mind. They sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph was a type of Christ. I don't have time to get into all of that, but you follow Joseph's life, you're going to find out that Joseph was a type of Christ. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver. So he wound up down in Egypt. And the Ishmaelites sold him again. And remember, Joseph was a young boy, possibly 17 years old or something like that. And this is a hard thing. I can see him down in that pit crying, come on, y'all, stop his foolishness. Stop playing. Get me up out of here. Because he was afraid, you know. It just so happened the Bible said there wasn't no water in that little pit, that little cistern down there. So that was a good thing. Good thing no animal walked by there and fell down there with him, because he would have been dinner, you know. But all those kinds of things, the brother wasn't even concerned about all that. But I said God was with him, even in all that, because if God had not been with him at this particular point, he would have been dead. Yes, he would have, because, boy, they meant business. They were going to really take him out. And they got together and they said, look, we're going to take and fix this coat of many colors. They hated that coat. Because now I'm going to tell you now, part of this problem is Jacob's. Part of this problem is Jacob's problem, because Jacob loved Rachel. And so by Jacob loving Rachel, Jacob loved all that Rachel produced. And Joseph and Benjamin was Rachel's. And I know that because when his brother Esau came after him, let me just digress a little bit here. When his brother Esau came after him, he thought Esau was going to kill him. He put all the other wives, because, you know, they had handmaids. They, Rachel and Leah had handmaids, so they were Joseph's wives too. He had children by them. And so he put all of them up in front and all of their kids up in front, and Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin stayed back there with him, so that if anything go down and Esau starts slaying everybody, he's going to take them out. Maybe Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin will get a chance to escape or get away. And you read your story about that. He had all of them up front, you know, and then Rachel and him was way in the back, so he would have to take out all them other boys and all them other wives before he get to me and Rachel. So that lets you know how much he cared and what he felt about Rachel. And guess what? You know what? When you got a child that you favor over all the other children, them children know that. They knew that. You know they knew that. They knew that Joseph and Benjamin were special and we're not special. You know, you love their mother more than you do our mother and all that, our mom and all that stuff like that. So that stuff was, I'm trying to get you to see, it was deep. It was deep in their heart. That bitterness, that envy, that hatred to kill him was deep in there, because Jacob started that mess. You know, amen, amen. Let me get into this thing. And so he's down in Egypt and sold him to Potiphar, as we heard the story. And God, you know, it don't matter what you're going through. I want you to know that God is with us. And I may jump a little ahead right here and cut this short or something, but God is with us. And he's with Joseph, and he's with us too. Yes. Now, what did the Lord say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end. Now, God is with us. I'm just trying to encourage somebody tonight. God is with all of us in here. Yes. And sometimes you're going through something and it's rough, but God is with us. And God was with Joseph. Yes. And so they sold him down there, and he was terrified, he was frightened. You know, it was hard. He was young. But the Lord, by the Lord being with him, God, whatever he did, God made it to prosper. God blessed the work of his hand. And he got down in his master's house. He's a slave down there. But he had a good attitude. He had a mind. That's why when you're going through something, you got to have a good attitude. You know, we all are going through something. Yeah, can I get an amen in here? I said we all are going through something. Isn't that right? But you got to keep a good attitude while you're going through, because God is with you. And you are light. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's looking at you. And so Joseph kept a good attitude. He worked with his hands. He put out his best. He did his best. And because of that, God blessed it. And then Potiphar noticed that, hey, everything in this house is being blessed since he's been here. All of my, the livestock, everything out in the field is blessed because Joseph is here. And he was able to see and realize that God is with him. And God is blessing him, and because of him, I'm blessed. Amen. And so he began to prosper, even though he was a slave, even though he was sold, even though he was going through a hard time. It don't matter what you're going through. One thing matters is that God is with you. But you know, he had another problem. You know, the devil's relentless. He ain't going to stop. He saw Joseph having a good attitude, saw Joseph, you know, doing well. And, you know, he thought Joseph, the devil thought Joseph was going to be taken out and gotten rid of. And he was still going on with the Lord. He was still prospering. He was still honoring God. Then he used his wife and Miss Potiphar. Now, let me tell you something. I've done a little homework in this. I looked in these things about Joseph and what was going on and everything. So the Bible said he was a goodly person and well-favored. And I went through 2, 3, or 4 commentators. And one of them said Joseph was good-looking, like his mother, Rachel. And they said Rachel was good-looking. Even her form was right. You know, you're talking about, that's the way they use it. Her form, so you know, her shape. You know, you know how women nowadays, they got a little, everybody, Latino, whatever they are, white, black, blue, green, Korean, everybody got a little back in the back, you know what I'm saying? So Rachel had it going on, and Rachel was a good-looking woman, and Joseph took after his mother. Now, I'm just going to put it in here because they commentators let me know. So he took after his mother. He was good-looking, had a six-pack, you know. Real friendly and everything, built up real nice. And Miss Potiphar was looking at him. And you know what? Her husband came home every day like he normally did. She didn't want him. She was so obsessed with Joseph. Night and day, that's all she could think about. And as soon as she thought nobody was around or she could get in a place with, she started working on him. That's why I said day by day, she was on him like a wet T-shirt. You know, but the thing about it, you see, God's going to be with you, but you got to be faithful. You got to have your mind made up. And you're going through some of these tests and trials, you need to have your mind made up to serve the Lord. And so he's down there, and he day in and day out, he refused. You don't have to just lay beside me. See, the devil's crafty. We don't have to do nothing. Just lay on a bed beside me. Just keep my company. How many know that's a lie? Just lay beside me. We don't have to. But you know what? But he refused day by day. And there's something about women and something about men that when you tell them no and they reject them, they get angry. And they can't take rejection. And so she got upset about that. And then he wouldn't, look like he wouldn't yield. So she got a little desperate and got physical. Began to take and grab him. Joseph! She got tired of him saying no, no, no. And she grabbed his clothes and he fled out his clothes. And then she had his stuff. And so she said, look, my husband come home. My husband, like I said, Mr. Potiphar came home every day. She didn't want him. She didn't want her husband. She wanted Joseph. You know something's wrong with that. Your husband come home, could took care of your knees and maybe it'll cool you down a little, but you wouldn't have been looking at Joseph. But no, she didn't want a husband. She wanted Joseph. Joseph, I told you, had a six-pack. He built up and everything, good-looking guy, and he was young. You know I'm saying something. You know how it is today. He was young. So, you know, she kept after him, but this particular day, she put everybody out. Put all the men out. Yeah. Put everybody out. Here comes Joseph in to do the business, the Bible says. And when nobody, and bolted the door. But when she talked to her husband, she told her husband, you know what? He came in to come in unto me, and I screamed and hollered. He was trying to rape me. And I, here's his clothes. When I screamed and hollered, he ran out. But you know, I even one commentator looked into this thing and said, you know what? Potiphar did not believe what all that his wife was saying. I watched a movie one time about Joseph, and they showed her raging, talking about, I tell you what he did, I want him dead. I want you to kill him. And you taking it, you hearing me? And he said, wife, I know you. And I believe that was the case. I believe somebody was on to something. He put him in the prison, the king's prison, where all the officials, people that had some position and stuff. That's where he put Joseph. She wanted him to kill Joseph. She wanted him to take him out. But he wouldn't do it. And, you know, there was something, you know, if you're around a person, you kind of know their spirit. Joseph had a certain spirit. He was just faithful. That's why Potiphar put him over everything, because he knew his spirit. He was faithful. He was humble, you know. He did what he was told. He never had any problem with him looking at none of the Egyptian women down there, hitting on them, anything like that. He was about his work. He was faithful. He did what he was told and everything like that. Potiphar knew that boy's spirit, that he wasn't even, you know, he was a respectable boy. He wouldn't even think about the man's wife. You know, he knew his spirit. And so, but, you know, so he put him in there, and I believe he regret putting him in there, but he had to do it because of his wife, because she wasn't going to stop raging. And so he's in the prison, and down there in the prison, I said, God was with him, and God, whatever you do, see, all you got to do is walk uprightly before God.
Yes, sir.
I kind of feel my helper coming now. All you got to do is walk uprightly before God, and God will take care of you. God will bless you. God will keep you. Yes, you're going to go through tests. You're going to go through trials. But it don't mean anything, because God is with you. God is on your side. And the thing came to pass that she talked to her husband, and her husband didn't do what she wanted him to do. But, you know, God was still blessing him. And even down in the prison, he stays faithful. He remained faithful. And that's a hard thing, that you're away from your parents' home, and you're still young, and you're down there for years in a place that you don't know, and your brothers are, you got on your mind the way your brothers treated you, with the bitterness and the hatred, and then you're in some strange land. We don't know where you're at and what's going on, but then it's hard to still try to be faithful to God. It's hard because you're wondering where God is, and why don't God deliver you? Why don't God get you out of this? And now he's in prison for a long time, look like. Yes, it is. And that's a hard thing. That's enough to make you become bitter. That's enough to make you to have hatred in your heart towards your brothers. And maybe, like some people do, they start faulting God or finding fault in God. But he stayed faithful. He kept a good spirit. He kept a good attitude. And God blessed him while he's in prison. He worked with his hand. Even the warden that was over the prison began to bless Joseph. He put Joseph over everything, just like Potiphar did. You over everything. And he didn't even look what was under his hand. He put Joseph up all over all the prisoners in the prison. And whatever was done in the prison, Joseph did it. Yes, he did. And the warden didn't even check behind him. Because why? God was with him. All you got to do is walk uprightly before God. And God's going to bless you. I'm not saying that you're not going to have tests. I'm not saying that you're not going to have trials. I'm not saying that you're not going to go through something. But if you just trust in the Lord, if you just walk with God, if you just be faithful, if you just have a good attitude, God is going to bring you out, because God is with you. I don't care what you're going through tonight, as long as you know that God is with you. That's the most important thing. They took the Hebrew boys. They were faithful. They were down there Nebuchadnezzar at this time was the most powerful monarch on the face of the earth. Whatever Nebuchadnezzar said, it was law. And they said he set up this great big statue and image. It was supposed to represent Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar said everything and everybody in the province, you got to bow before it. Hallelujah. When you hear the sound of the sackbut and all these musical instruments, I want you to bow down. Hallelujah. But the Hebrew boys, they were faithful because God was with them, and they wouldn't bow. There's always going to be somebody watching your life and seeing are you going to compromise, trying to see are you going to bow, trying to see are you going to give in, trying to see are you going to stand up and be a Christian. Somebody's watching you. So they didn't bow, and they went to the king and said, this Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wouldn't bow. Well, let me tell you something. Whatever test you're going through, God is with you in that test. Yes, he is. And so they said, he took them aside. Because why? They already had position in the kingdom. And old Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't want to take them out. These boys were smart. These boys were excellent. These boys had it going on. They knew some things. They were the finest of the crop that he brought out of Israel. And so he said, pull aside. I'm just going to ask you, hey, you got another chance because you are in position here in my kingdom. Is this true that I hear that you didn't bow? They said, look, O king, live forever. We're not going to disrespect you, but we're not going to bow. We're not going to compromise. And so they said, hallelujah. Hey, King Nebuchadnezzar, his visage, he got so angry that his countenance changed. Hallelujah. He said, heat that furnace seven times hotter than what it is. What are you going to do? And throw them in there. Hallelujah. I didn't see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego belly aching and crying and compromising, give up. We're about, let us go. But they stood their ground. Hallelujah. And the men, the most strongest, mighty men, Nebuchadnezzar had to take them boys up there. They were slain because the fire was so hot. But one thing Nebuchadnezzar didn't encounter, somebody was already in the furnace waiting there. Hallelujah. When you go through your test and you're at the end of your test, Jesus is standing there waiting. Jesus was already in the furnace. That's why the fire was raging and jumping up. But when they got in there, the fire didn't do anything. Because even the fire, inanimate being, recognized the creator. Oh, yes, it did. God is in charge over everything. So you ain't got to worry. I don't care where you go, what they say, what they do, God is in charge. Even now, people are worrying about tariffs and stuff. Coming over here, they're all around. Yes, they are. They recruited over in the United States. And folks are worrying about it. There may be some saints even worrying about it. But you ain't got to worry about the tariffs. God is in control. God said, when I see you under the blood. And God said, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. Can't nothing touch you. Can't nothing harm you unless God allow it. And if God would allow it and it's time for you to go home, oh, what a blessing. Why? Because you're going to be in the presence of God. You're going to be with Jesus. Looking at that new Jerusalem. Hey, your home in the sky. Hey, God is good. You can't lose over here. The choice to serve God, the choice that you made to choose God, you made the right choice. Yes, you did. Because you can't lose no matter where you go. Whether you go with a hole in the sky or the hole in the ground, you're still going to be with the Lord. You got his spirit in you. If that spirit that raised Christ from the dead be in you, it's going to quicken your mortal body. You're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, yes, you will. So you just hold on. You be encouraged. God's got you. God's got your back. You ain't got to worry about it. Hallelujah. So they brought him through. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, sometimes, yes, we do. We fail the test. I'm going to tell you, I know you say I've been saved so many years. I guarantee you haven't passed every test. Sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we fail. But all you got to do is repent. Don't jump off the bridge. Don't throw in the towel. Don't go back. God is still with you. What? What are you saying, Pastor? I made a mistake. I messed up. I didn't pass the test. You mean to tell me God is still with you? Yes. God is still with you because you're his child. The Bible speaks of a righteous man falling down 7 times. God's going to help him up. Say, am I giving you a license to sin? No. Well, we do have an advocate with the Father. Yes, we do. Paul, John said, we write unto you that you sin not, but if you do, we have an advocate with the Father. And so we his children. He ain't going to throw us away like that. And God knows we ain't perfect yet. But you do your best to serve God. You do your best to walk up rightly before God. But don't throw in the towel. Just repent. Brush yourself off and say, Lord, help me to pass this test the next time. In the test, there's a lesson to be learned in the test. And the test is because of the lesson, and the lesson is in the test. But when you learn the lesson that's in the test, what's going to happen, Bethel? What do you say? Test is over. Just like in school, you take a test on Friday, you make a 100, the teacher ain't going to keep giving you that same test over and over. You pass that test. Test over. You moving on to something else. And that's the same thing, Lord, as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. That's the same thing the Lord's going to do. That test is over. You moving on to higher ground. So don't fret. Don't throw in the towel. You know, no matter what's going down, God is with you. God's got your back. I remember Elijah. Elijah, God was using him. He had many gifts. And the king began to send these 50 men after him because Elijah was revealing to the king of Israel what the king that was the enemy was saying in his bedroom. See, God knows your thoughts. And he can reveal it to the man or the woman of God. And so Elijah told the king, they plan on doing this, that, and the other. So whenever they went out to do anything to God's people, they already knew what their plans was. And he was so angry about that. He said, why are y'all telling the king of Israel my plans? Who is it? Tell me. They said, no, my Lord, it's Elijah. He's telling a secret. So he sent 50 men out to get Elijah. But when Elijah saw them coming, Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and slay these 50. They were gone. But the king didn't learn. He sent 50 more men out. And they come after Elijah, had their little weapons and stuff. Come on down from there. He said, if I be a man of God, let these 50 be consumed by fire. They were gone. King didn't learn. He sent 50 more. But these other 50 came. They came kind of trembling. They said, oh, man of God, we ain't trying to do anything or do. Could you please humble himself to you? You got to humble yourself. Could you please come down and go with us? And God said, go down with him. Why? Lord, why are you telling me go down? Because I'm with you. God is with you. He went on down with them. And all Elijah had to do is smoke these people with blindness. He went into the camp of Israel and woke up. And their eyes come open. And all Elijah had to do is say, open their eyes. They see they was in the enemy's camp. Elijah said, go and feed them. Go and feed them all. So sometimes, yeah, there are going to be some enemies. There are going to be some persecution on the job. There are going to be some persecution wherever you go. But give them something to drink. Give them something to eat. You're going to heap coals of fire on their head. Take something. We love you. And you know what Jesus said? Bless them that's going to persecute you. You know, bless them. You bless them. I mean, we got to show this light. We got to show that God, you can talk about God is with me and God loves me and, oh, my Father, God, this and that. But you got to show. You got to prove that God is with you by the love that you show to people. Amen. You can't, I'm going to get him and praying on him and praying that God do something to him. That ain't God. That's the devil. All right. That's the devil got into your head and got you praying and praying to do something to somebody. And hatred is in there, but you, that's not of God. You got. That's why I don't believe this stuff. This man telling me I killed her because I love her. That's a lie. You killed her because you got another spirit in you that came from the devil. You love somebody, you ain't gonna kill him. And you get on the news, somebody, I killed her because I love her. I couldn't see her leave me. I couldn't put up with. I couldn't stand the fact that she's leaving me. That's a lie. That ain't love. That's hatred. And hatred can lead to murder. I never would believe that junk. That's foolishness. But that they went on, and you know this question when asked: can you still love when you're being hurt? Can you still love while you're being hurt? Now you think that Joseph testing was over. Joseph testing went over. Pharaoh called him up and exalted him to the kingdom, and you know the story. He was over all the land. But he was still going through some tests. Because God was seeing whether he was going to still love his brothers. His brothers hurt him, but he had to prove that he still would love them. Now, I'm going to give you something straight. God was with them 11 brothers. Even though they wasn't right. Even though they was trying to kill Joseph. God was still with them. Because God, you know, the Bible said all things work together for the good. To them that love the Lord. You may not understand why this and that and the other happened to you. You may charge God foolishly. You might look at the person and say, but one for so and so, this wouldn't happen to me. And a lot of times you holler, God, why me? I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm doing everything right, and I'm still going through something. But the Bible said, and we know that all things work together for the good. To them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now Joseph loved the Lord. And Joseph was called according to the purpose of God. God had a purpose for Joseph's life. He had a purpose for his life. God was trying to raise up a people. And you know they became over 2 million down in Egypt. But it all started with Joseph. And you know what Joseph told him? Joseph started testing them. God was testing Joseph to see whether his spirit was going to change, but Joseph started testing them. Joseph made himself strange, and he knew who they was, but they didn't know who Joseph was. And he put a little task and a little pressure on them, and Joseph was trying to see whether they had changed or not. But God was trying to see whether Joseph was going to change. You know, because see, whenever somebody does something to you and you hurt and they become an enemy, you're going to get that opportunity to get back at them. God's going to bring them people back in your presence. And you're going to have an opportunity to get back at them. And God's going to see whether you are going to get back at them, do wrong, or pay them back for what they did to you. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I'm going to tell you, when you're being hurt, when somebody's really letting you have it and really coming down on you and really persecuting you and really talking about you and belittling you and rejecting you, that's kind of hard. That's kind of hard. Especially when they're doing it in front of people. It's kind of hard. And you still, that's why I'm asking you the question, can you still love while you're being hurt? While you're being persecuted? Think about that. That's kind of rough. That's kind of hard. To still love a person. Still be able to speak to them kind. The Bible said, let your words be seasoned with grace and seasoned with salt. That's hard when they're persecuting, they're hurting you, and they're lying on you, talking about you, persecuting you in front of other people, criticizing you, rejecting you, ostracizing you. That's kind of rough. That's kind of rough. But some kind of way, Joseph loved the Lord. He fed them. He took care of them. He said, look, go and bring my father. Bring all my brothers down here. Bring everybody here. I'm going to take care of you. Yes, that was the love of God. Yeah. That was the love of God. So if you're going through something tonight, and I know I've heard the different testimonies of folks going through, and I say, I know this is the message that God want to encourage his people tonight. Yeah. That whatever you're going through, don't fret. Don't be dismayed. Right. Don't be troubled, because God is with you. Yes. I said, God is with you. Yeah, it looks rough, it looks hard. Somebody said their back was up against the wall. But it don't matter what you're going through, because God is with you. With all of you. God is with you. So you ain't got to worry about it. No weapon that is formed against you going to prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you'll be able to condemn, because this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness, God's, is of me. So don't worry about it. Nothing can happen to you unless God allows it. And if you're going through something, because God loves you. Say, I don't understand it. You know how your parents say, they win you out. I'm doing this because it's hurting me more than it's going to hurt you. I'm doing this because I love you. That's kind of what God is saying. God is trying to grow you up. God is trying to mold you, shape you, make you, so that the next test come, you're ready to go through it with flying colors. But you got to have some strength. You got to go through something because of the love that God got for you. Now, if you don't want God to reprimand you, or you don't want God to discipline you, then God said, you're not my son.
Amen. That's right.
You're the B word.
Amen.
You know what the B word, and that's what God said, you're the B word. Illegitimate child, because I can't correct you, I can't straighten you out, I can't chastise you, and he has a right to. But so God is saying, I'm about done here. God is saying, don't be dismayed, don't get discouraged. I know this taxi cab driver, the Lord brought this back to me when I thought about Joseph going through Miss Potiphar, what he was dealing with and everything. And, you know, he, if anybody should have had bitterness and hatred, it should have been Joseph. All the stuff he went through, lied on him. You know, he was going to, his reputation was going to be ruined. You know, he wound up in prison. He was in prison a long time. They hate, they hurt his feet in the stocks. He went through some things, all because the woman lied.
Yeah.
And this taxi cab driver was on the news a while back. I'm about done. He was taking this woman home, and the woman had some drinks in her, and she did the same thing that Miss Potiphar did. She kept coming on this guy, and this guy said, man, say, I don't want to do that because I love my girlfriend. I really love my girlfriend. Oh, she railed on him and tried to break his ego down. What you scared of women, what you afraid, you wimpy. Just said a whole lot of things that would hurt your ego and make you do something because of what somebody's saying. But he just kept telling him. He did like Joseph. He refused. He said, I love my girlfriend. I don't want to do it. The next day, she went to court to have him persecuted. I mean, to have him put in jail. He was going to have a felony. He was going to charge against him assault, sexual harassment, trying to do something to her. All that, you know what I'm saying. All that was going to be on him. And come to find out, the woman was a lawyer. Oh, he was in trouble. But you know what I believe? God was with him.
All right.
Yes, sir. Got down there, and they get ready to throw the book at him. They had him, and she's a good lawyer. She, you know, lawyer, you know how to fix words up, fix that thing up. But the man had a tape recorder. She didn't contemplate that. All of that stuff she said and what he kept refusing, saying, no, I love my girl, was on tape. He pulled out that tape recorder, laid it there before the judge and the jury. It was over. They got her. They got her and indicted her. But she's in there lying. And they got her. And I was hearing that, and I felt bad, and something was trying to get me upset. I said, that don't make no sense. So-and-so. Because, you know, she was acting like she had drinks in her. She was drunk. The next day, she was sober. She knew everything. And fixed that thing up. But, you know, he had that tape recorder.
Jesus.
Came out of that thing. He's going to lose his girlfriend. He's going to have a felony on him. He was going to jail for a long time. But God was with him. All you got to do, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, just hold on. Don't throw in the towel. God is with you. It gets rough sometimes. I've been through it. I've been through it on the job. They're trying to fool my ego. What, you scared of women? You ain't going to fight your way out of a paper bag. You ain't going to bust a grape or something. You know, they say all them women come up with all kinds of stuff to make you look bad and feel bad. But God was with me.
Yeah.
and I was able to come through it. And no matter what you're going through in your life, God is with you. All you got to do is hold on. You ain't got to get with nobody. You ain't got to say a whole lot of stuff. You ain't got to take up for yourself. You don't have to even justify yourself. Just leave it and put it in God's hand. And God will bring you out. Why? Because God is with you. God bless you. In Jesus' name.